Hallelujah, Jesus. I brought the dreaded yellow pad up. And I wanted to show you. Here's my typing board. I'm a high tech. It's mechanical. Feeds LEDs down as you use them. It's got a store of 20 LEDs in there almost. This is one word delete button. This is a paragraph delete button. This is 3/4 of a page deleter. If you want to see a little bit of an edited version, I made pretty good on that page. A little editing on this one. A little editing on that one. Really kind of edited a few things out there. Maybe I should yellow pad you at least once in this conference, since there's only 4 pages wrote and they're only in halves. I can't read my own writing. I always write to somebody. It's a key. You have to keep somebody in mind, and you have to write out of the people's mind, not yours. You come in where you're thinking, they might not know that. Brother Tim, I've been in it for a long time and still marvel at the love God has for His family. It was this revelation that Christianity is not a religion, but a family, that caused me to understand that the greatest attribute of the new nature is the unlimited capacity to both receive and operate out of the love of God. Not just towards the believer, but towards the unbeliever. John said it like this in John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I cannot help but look at the peoples of the world and think, we all have the same body, the same DNA that God used to create Adam with some 6,000 years ago. And the difference between us and them now is that we still have the same body, but we have a new nature. And because we all came from the same family, I can't help but look at the rest of creation, our lost brothers and sisters, without thinking that the same way you would reach out for your own lost family members, had they been incarcerated under a death penalty, your wife, your children, or your father, your mother, would you exhaust all your resources to rescue them? What do you think God would do? As far as I got. What do you think He would do? And this love became part of me enough to realize whatever the sinner cost me, whatever, it didn't matter. Whatever He cost me, God's going to give it back. Not only give it back, He said, heap down, pressed together, shaken together, running over, will men run and give to me. Why? Because I don't care what these guys do. I don't care what it costs me. I'm not going to quit going after them. And when that settled down in my spirit, I got so wealthy inside that I couldn't stand myself. It felt like I discovered gold and I was off filing the claim. It was incredible. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, Tim Stemple, you know, who, associate of ours. When Morris Sorello and Rex Humbart were in their heyday, when their ministries as big as they could get, guess who was managing them? It was Tim. And when he came over, I met him in Tulsa. And, oh, man. I was just on my third airplane, which is a giant 8-place with 400 horses on each wing. Flight up into Canada. One before that was 6, and the one before that 4. 4-place. The big 8 had a staircase in the back and a bathroom in it. I don't know if you know that's a big deal. I had all that and I was on the circuit. You want to talk about be able to get money from people? All of that glory hit me when I moved from Little Oregon to Tulsa and fell out of prayer for a season. Got exalted. I could get your money. I went in with one of the best offering raisers. He could get your money. I went in behind him on the same crowd and got more than he did. But I'm saying this to tell you, when I started back in prayer, he got me out of it. See, I could look. Oh, well, why don't you pledge that 1,000? Don't you know that every person I get born again, I'll be added to your account? Let me tell you what you'll do. You got a loved one that's lost. You sow that 1,000. And the souls that'll get born again, listen, you're going to give some God something to work with. He's going to come after that loved one. Add 2 or 3 testimonies. I got it. I thought that was what I was looking for. You know what it was? It's this. It's the peace. The love of God. Then when it started changing and Him bringing me back out, I didn't care if everything went down to just 3 stalks of corn in my field. I put my arms around them and says, at least they're my corn. So when I'm talking with you, see, I'm not preaching and standing up here and worshiping God and moving without an awful lot of experience behind me. And when I tell you that I know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm talking about. This is what people is looking for, but they don't know it. And don't you know the Holy Spirit will put you on that path? It won't be my call. It'll be yours. He'll see to it, nurture you as a member of the Godhead would, and bring you to that place of victory and peace and filling the fullness of the measure that He's measured out for you in this life. And there's no contentment, no place, and no peace like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't particularly want to tell you that, but I knew it would help you. If for some reason you was thinking that we don't know what we're talking about because we haven't experienced it or something. Wrong. Wrong. So, I could go in there and pick that message up where they left it off. Right? Romans 12. And show you and give you your measure of faith. Faith tonight. To get on that path, because if you let Him take that body that you offered to Him and lead you down His path, and if you will not stop, you're going to end up with the fullness of what He's asked you to do. And when you go home, you're going to be full of God, full of reward, and one happy believer. I've been wanting to teach, and then people go into intercession, and I don't, you know. I don't know what they went in for. Oh, God, don't let him teach. My friends, you know. Get to us. Oh, that's your mind. How do I do that? Here do I. Nakribisulavrama. Quetusishi. Oh, not so. Not so sure. For it is my delight, saith the Lord, to comfort you, strengthen, and to lead you with the greatest detail. For there's contentment and peace in being on the path I put you on, and to be fulfilling what I have given you to do. Not somebody else. You. So as I call you forward, know you not that I plan these things? That I want you to hear certain things that'll cause you to be able to move forward in what your heart is crying out for. For when you seek me with all your heart, I will be there, saith the Lord. So come up higher with me. Come up higher, saith the Lord. For I have a place for you that's glorious. In case you're thinking, I don't know what overcoming things is. I don't say too much about this either. But my son, Bill, who was preaching, I went to Frank's to preach. He was on his way to Louisiana. And he died at Frank's. Late 20s. Year and a half ago, his brother died. Grandkids are living with me now. 11 and 9. She think that I don't have to fight some kind of fight or maintain. See, I know where they're at. See, I know this because I know what happened. They're home. See, they're home. And for a little comfort, my one son, when he tried to run and party the first time, it was into Washington. Got on a fishing boat and made a lot of money with a friend. And they came back and had a heroin party. No, it wasn't heroin. Morphine. Well, when I brought them all to God and left them there, I mean, I left them. I left them. Anyway, he was in Washington and they had that morphine party when they got their payoff. And I was praying and I had Steve on the altar. You're not dying without him. Well, he did. He did. And when he called, was scared as a little rabbit because he woke up and his friend was dead in the house. He overdosed. But he came out of it. He was alive. And he overdosed. So as he's talking to me, scared than a little rabbit, I went into a vision. I could tell you what the front room looked like. Because I saw it. But when I saw it, there's an angel about 7 foot tall, dressed and looked like a Roman outfit. He looked like he liked the war. He had his arms folded. And had his back to the party. Then all of a sudden these two little devils came in. And they just came right through the wall. And all he did was just turn with one glare. And they whimped down, fell, and squawked out. Well, my son admitted later when he woke up that he had stepped out of his body. Scared the living daylights out of him. He thought he was on a trip. He stepped out of his body and later he admitted to me. He said on the other side of the wall I could see the form of this thing. And when he floated or come up out of it and he stood and he turned around and saw himself and was horrified. And that being said, get back in there. Get back in. And that's when he woke up. He's so scared. He got saved. Well, Bill was preaching. See. Now, I had to bleed for their ministries, long life and that. You know, that's what I would have liked. But I'll tell you where I parked my prayer. Not knowing as much then, I parked it on the fact that none of them. None. In fact, when I brought them all in and gave them over to God for the last time, finally, they were wild. Finally, the last time. I made it, God, it seemed like during the night God woke me up and says, you know those boys you gave me? Yes, sir. He said, I'd like to give them back. But of course, you know, it just seemed like it, you know. Hallelujah, but I know where they are. See, and I know this too. I cried. It's okay. And later I laughed. You know, in the presence of God, that's okay. And Martha and Mary, you know, he says, look, well, I know there's a resurrection and the last. He says, I am the resurrection. And he that liveth and believeth on me will never die. Well, he was just talking about that little thin pancake you're wearing. Well, maybe all of us, that's real thin, but you know, that thin pancake you're wearing. I mean, you're not going to ever die anymore. You only pass from that death to life one time, and that's when you're born again. That you're going to lose this body, it's going to fall off of you. It's a big deal. You already died. Big deal. Let it fall off. I already died.
I've already been brought back. Hallelujah. So death's between me and the other body. So at one time I'll turn around. Now, oh, good land, my body fell off. Well, come on. What do you mean? Oh, okay. That's about how hard it is. What are you afraid of? You don't have to be afraid. See? Hallelujah. The Word. In fact, I turned this against the devil. He made it bad. He personified my enemyship. He personified my immunistic valor and knighthood towards him. Okay, he kindled my anger. Woo! He made an enemy. I'm going to dog him the rest of my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. So listen to me. I didn't intend on taking this any direction. But like the last time this happened somewhat, you know, I know how to believe. I know how. I get in on your agreement. Just let me do the praying and I'll get in on your agreement if you want to turn somebody over. You can guarantee I've got experience and I will not turn loose. Let me ask you something. Why do you think when somebody parachute don't open, they go down? Why? No, that's not the question. Why do you think the testimonies you hear is how their whole life ran in front of them? Somebody takes a gun and their whole life goes in front of them all of a sudden. Why do you think that happens? Every time that you had him submitted to you, Christ, every time. That's what's happening. Even if you're falling at 200 miles an hour, in just a second, your whole life and every time salvation was offered to you will go by you. That's why people scream out a lot of times, "Oh, God, save me!" I can't tell you how many people God has visited in a coma because somebody would not turn loose of them. Sometimes it'd come out, other times they didn't. But the testimony was that they would cry out or something of a supernatural being coming. So I've known these things to happen more than once. He wants your loved ones. He wants to save them. Like Philip, if you give him something to track them down with, said, "God, don't hold us to his charge." And on the road to Damascus, pretty soon Jesus had fallen down on the ground. Why did Jesus say to pray to send forth laborers? I mean, he wants them saved more than me. Why do I have to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send them forward? Wouldn't he just automatically do that? What does he want from me? He's the head, you're the body. Your mouth is his. Needs your authority. You call somebody saved and to send laborers after them. If people can't get to him that he sends, he's not beyond a supernatural visitation, which I've seen happen. When angels show up. This woman just her husband give her beatings. Sorry, he was a truck driver. He'd come home and beat her. And she's a godly woman, and even during the beating, she would call him saved. And one day, he was heading home in the big rig. And all of a sudden, a big bright angel just appeared sitting next to him in the truck cab. He pulled over, run off the road, truck, and bailed out on the ground. And if you can imagine this, he knew right what to do. He accepted Jesus. Came home. Talked to the woman. Came home. Another man. He sold his truck and paid for school. Went to Bible school. Is pastoring a church now. Come on. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't relent. So I've seen cases like this more than once. What if the angels, if they can't get it done, because I've known them to appear, then guess who'll come after them? The same one that went after Paul, the head of the church. Don't you know he just loves it? Heaven is just waiting, just loves it. When you fasten somebody in that place called done, then heaven gets to go into motion, and whatever it takes, begin to track them down. So why don't you get the family member again and stand up just where you're at, like somebody you want to turn over. You really want to turn them over. You can say the family of or my brother, or but if it's two or three, something like that, just major on them so you can watch the progress. Major on them. And usually this works the best on closer family members because your faith is so strong. So get a few of them out that you know need to be saved. I mean, really, really needs to be saved. I know where my boys are. And listen, if you think I ever, for a half a second, held anything against God, you better think again. I did not, nor will I ever. He did all he could and accomplished what I asked him to. So you got those names out in your heart? At a point I'll stop, but meanwhile say what I say. Then when I stop, you name them. Just name them out loud, or say the name is what you need to do. If it's three of them, two of them, say it. Even just a loved one that you really love, or friend, you can. But this is something you just sling around. I'm going to offer them. Are you ready? Father God, I love you. And I know that you love me. I know Jesus loves me. You sent him. He died for me. He died for my loved ones. And I know, Father, I can't hold them up. That heaven will go into action and end up in their salvation. So right now I'm taking this person, and this is their name. All right, give the name. Yes. Yes. Now, Father God, I'm giving them to you. They're yours now. I'm leaving them with you in the place called done. And I promise you, I am not going to take them back. I'm leaving them with you for salvation. I thank you. It is done. Done. In Jesus' name, I call them saved. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory. I believe it's mine. Woo! Somebody says, well, won't we just do the whole world like that? Why do you think that he wants you in intercession for countries and things and people? What do you think? He loves it when you call a place out and call missionaries in. And he loves it. He loves to go after them. But when you narrow it down to somebody you know, it's your faith, your field, your evangelism. Hold on. About 5 or 6 years, we'll come back and take testimonies. Be sure you're here. Now, can't we? He wanted this. Yes, sir. Let me tell you what this service just did. It prevented. Actually, it was two people. Prevented two people from going to hell. I know you got no way to walk that out and prove it. The rest of the stuff we've been. Yes, sir. The other words have been true. Why wouldn't that one be? Two people, is what I understand, changed their course tonight. No wonder he wanted this. Yes. Now, don't you just lift your hands up and just worship God for just a little bit here. I remember testifying last year. I can't get over how much people are worth. Saved or not. I didn't have any idea what he would do. The lengths he would go. The provision he would supply. Just to go after one. Had no idea. You get caught up in religion. We're all trying to get him to do something all the time. Like he don't care. I was so happy to put people on the list. My sister Donna had made it to it. She's a witch. Put spells on people. She's got a whale of a healing anointing now to knock your socks off. My older sister, I was born on her birthday. 2 years later, May 1st. She is a witch too. Not anymore. We had her for 2 years at the prayer center. My brother Steve, he's even preached before now. But he wasn't serving God either. We got them all. I was so excited about this that I went to aunts and uncles. They're the first ones I itemized and especially offered. With all my heart, I put them in the place called Don. Left them totally, totally in his displace with him, totally. And Leon, I always thought he was a giant of a man. Because he'd throw me up in the air when I was little. Catch me on the way down. They look pretty big when they're doing that. I thought he was a giant. So I had to call around to find out where he was. And where was I at? Bakersfield?
Porterville.
Thank you. She came to the meeting, I think. I called anybody and another uncle, and finally he says, he's in the San Joaquin Valley there somewhere. And I said, where? Where's Leon? He says, it's in some town called Porterville. I thought, that's the town I'm in. So they gave me the address, and I was preaching the meeting at the church. So when the pastor came that night, I went and got him. And I said, can you show me where this address is? These apartments? He said, come out in the parking lot. And I did, and he pointed across the little alley, and it was that one. I went over and knocked on the door. This short guy answered. Remember, I left. Well, I left home when I was 17. I said, Leon. He said, yeah. I said, my nickname's Bud. Donner still slips up. Church, Bud. Hey. I said, I'm Bud, your sister's boy, Bertha. You're Bud? I said, yeah. What are you doing here? I said, I'm preaching a meeting right there at that church. You're a preacher? Yeah. Right there. Will you come over? He said, yeah. He had a colostomy bag. When I had the call that night, there he was, standing there getting saved in front of the platform. He went home, I think a year or two later. Could I go on? Oh, yes. Yes. Have faith when you pray for somebody. You'll discover somewhere along the line, because it's in the journey. He finally had to show me how much he loved somebody else first. Before I could believe it about myself. I wasn't raised like that. But there was no mistake in what came on me, and that I was looking through his eyes for just one moment. And I saw a person, people, and that love for them flooded through me, and I seen him through his eyes. And the second wave that flooded over me was that he loved me the same. And I haven't been the same. When you get to that part on the road, life's so worth living. No fear. Never too late. Never. You start understanding why God can do things for people. Why He will. At that point, little believer or mighty apostle, these signs will follow you who believe. You'll cast devils out, speak with that new tongue, and lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. He didn't say the apostle, the faithful, the believer. He's looking for somebody to stand in. Every time you go into a house where somebody's sick, come on. What's going to get me there? What he said. That he that searches the heart knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, and it induces the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you according to the will of God, and then you can know all things will work for His purpose. So first it's His plan for you, His will, and then the overall purpose of what He's called you for in the body. And you skip the next three chapters and get to 12, and after you learn to offer yourself to that plan, offer your body a living sacrifice. Therefore, my brethren, based on something I've already told you, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove in His calling what's a good, acceptable, perfect will. Then, well, Paul went on to say in the next verse, I speak according to the grace given to me. Apostle Paul is going to give you counsel. Would you take it? He says, I'm speaking to you through the grace that's given to me. You don't have to go but three verses down. He tells you we have gifts differing according to the grace given to us. I mean, I didn't ask for my calling. You didn't. It was the grace of God that separated you to what He separated you to, and me to what He separated me to. What do you think you're going to find? What do you think you're going to find on that path? He says, for He's given to every man the measure of faith. Well, first, He gives you the grace. So in clarifying that grace, Paul says, look, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think soberly according to God's given to every man the measure of faith. Well, he spoke that in accordance with the grace given to him, which means you didn't earn that calling. You didn't earn that standing. It's an appointment by Him and could not be earned. So he said, why do people think of themselves more highly than they ought? You didn't choose your calling. That He's given to every man the measure of faith. Now, of course, you know what us preachers did with that measure.
You have the measure of faith.
Yes. So I started questioning them. How much is a measure?
Well, we're not sure whether it's a measure or the measure.
Would help if I knew what measure was. In Tulsa, I should be able to ask a preacher. You know, we got a lot of preachers. I live on a little hill, kind of. I can throw a rock down in the valley and then go towards the stream. There'll be a preacher there. Says, what's a measure of faith? Well, it's that faith, that little measure. Everybody gets it. Not, no, a measure's part of a whole.
When I discovered that, I was exhausted from the spiritual revelation that flowed over me. I mean, you're going to have to be strong to get this. Are you ready to, what that measure is? I'm getting weak already. This is the depth of this revelation is staggering. I mean, this is so deep. A measure is, I can't stay up anymore. I think I learned it in the third or fourth grade. A measure, this is heavy for you, brace yourself. A measure is part of a whole. I need help. I'm weak. One third of three thirds makes a whole. Wow. Third grade stuff. So I thought, I'm going to live by this code. And they cut that pie up. They says, you want 1/4 or 1/64th? I said, I want the big piece. Give me 1/64th. Oh, God. God. Oh, it looked like a razor blade. What's this? I wanted the big piece. I told you 1/64th. He said, we have grace differing. Our callings differing from the grace that's given to us. Then he give you the measure of faith that goes with the grace that's been given to you and your call. And all the measures working together makes one devil stomping mountain moving body called the body of Christ. Whatever you are in it, he gave you the faith for your call and the grace of the calling. You couldn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You didn't deserve it. It was given to you by him. And that measure of faith is the measure he gave you to fulfill it. So when I stand before him and I did half of it, I can't say
I didn't have enough measure for it.
Exactly. I measured it. No, I did not have enough measure for it.
Oh, I thought you were getting a man.
That one was me. See, he's give us the measure. But see, when he said you offer your body, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your reasonable service, be not conformed, but transformed, renewing of your mind to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect. Sitting with the Holy Spirit at the wheel. He's going to bring you into the fulfilling, absolutely fulfilling of the measure you're called to do. Every one of you's got one of those calls listed. Every one of you. So here you take the entrepreneur and he takes, you know, and he makes $500-600 billion that year. So he's going, you know, to bring 20 million over to the missionary that's overseas so he can do a good job over there. And so he's thinking, well, this missionary's going to get all the glory and stuff. No, he's fulfilling his measure. Then the billionaire kind of starts getting glad when he sees the condition and the diseases and everything he's facing. And the monstrous crowds and the salvation day after day wearing him down. And he starts thinking, my land, my job's a whole lot easier. I'm sure glad I get to stay home and pay that guy's mouth to go do this. Don't think that that's easy. But the thing is, guess what? One sowed, one reaped, but it's God that give the increase. Do you know they're going to have the same reward? But I was... So what? The meter maid is going to get left out? Is that what you said? I tried to imagine what it would be like when I saw Jesus. Here I get all of India born, no, all of Brazil born again, you know it. Maybe he threw Japan in and I got all Japan saved. And I'm waiting in the room where he's going to come and see me and I'm going to walk for my reward with him. And it's my time. After all, I affected a couple of continents. And I got some... I'm special. He called me, didn't he? Not you. I am special. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. That's so I can jump. La, la, la. So I'm waiting in my reward room, right? Remember? Oh, Jesus is going to come in a minute. I can really move. Oh, all of a sudden the door opens. Jesus! Oh, who are you? Well, the Lamb told me to come in here. Are you in the right room?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're in my reward room. Who told you to come in? Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, I get it. What century did you live in? I turned mine upside down. If you'd lived in mine and did that, I'd have known you. Oh.
Well, actually, I lived in yours.
What? What'd you do?
Well, the Prayer and Power Center in the 50,000 seating wing. I was the cleaning lady for the 50,000 seater left wing.
You're a cleaning lady?
Yes.
Wait right there. Jesus? Jesus? Oh, come in. There's a cleaning lady that got in here by accident. Could you go tell her that this is my room? And would you take me over and show me all them people that got saved again? Would you roll that big window up and show me all of those that... He says, Roberson, Roberson, you shouldn't think of yourself more highly than you are. Yeah, I just want to see him one more time. We were to get out of those continents. Oh, man. Oh, back to the cleaning lady. She got in my reward room. Could you deal with her? Thank you. He said, she's come to be crowned. Why? I'm the one that did all the work and sweated and everything. He said, listen. That's how she got her bread. That woman. She spent the entire night going from chair to chair. And making intercession continually. She put pins in a map. And every time one would have the revival, she'd move it to the other. And she prayed continually, continually, continually. If it wasn't for the prayer person that I have now, Miss Daisy Black, I may not be here. In India, in the revival I was in. They put a bomb in it. That was that one that did not go off. They found it afterwards. Miss Daisy Black got it in the States. She heard bomb and stayed on her face until it was diffused.
She told the account when we got home. I'd kind of been cut by about 20 years. But because of her, I'm alive. And not only would have killed me, they killed everybody in there. So this woman's going to walk with me. He said, son, she fulfilled to the nth degree not only the grace of the calling I gave her, but the measure to do it with. You ought not think of yourself more highly, because that's all you did. You filled it with the same material I give you to fill yours, and she used the same material to fill hers. You're in this reward together. You got that. Don't you ever feel like you're doing nothing. Just because you're not the one that's always put on display. They're not new to me now, but my heroes have changed. I used to want to be like those guys on TV and
stuff like that.
Why?
Ding, 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 ding.
My heroes are the unsung now. They eat their bread with quietness. The needs that nobody sees or care about, if there's no glory connected in with it, they're always laboring in quietness. And I love them people. With all my heart, I want to thank you. I didn't fall for the trap. I got my life back from 20 years ago. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I had a really good time tonight. I did. Really good. So, Janet. Let Jim play, would you? Yeah. That'd be a miracle at Mount Sinai proportions. All right. I don't know when I'll see you again unless you all come with Jim in October. Yeah. Yep. Bring a bus or something, you know. But I can't remember enjoying a meeting, I think, as much as I enjoyed this, both in the church and out. I've had a great time. And it's joy, the love, the peace, and the wit. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I was down there all day, duct taping those ducks' mouths. I thought he was serious and went down there. Who was it that told me? Then this is worth losing 3 or 4 winks. Tell me again.
Do you know what Elmer Fudd had for lunch when he went out duck hunting?
What?
Cheese and quackers.
Okay. Well, they quack you up. Okay. So, if you're thinking, if you're souring up, you know, thinking.
Well, he says, not foolish jesting, which is not convenient.
I can just hear that running through somebody's mind.
You cover him, Jim.
All our humor made a point. when it makes a point, then it's allowed. But if everybody's dead in the church, it doesn't make any difference. You're not running nothing anyway. So it's been our pleasure serving you from His Word. And that's all our heart. I've had a tremendous time. I feel refreshed. Hallelujah, Jesus.